Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. At the beginning of 2014, the Lord said to me, "The church must this year don glory." He had given me a revelation of the glory many years ago, and we're going to be playing for you now from CDs made all those many years ago of that message he gave me.
Ephesians chapter 5 will be our, for this section, Ephesians chapter 5, the middle of verse 25 to the middle of verse 27. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It is this book of Ephesians, which is particularly the book of glory, which speaks to us of our future as the glorious church. When we leave here, as has been said, we will not leave here weak and decrepit, but we will leave here the strongest organism ever to have walked on this earth. We will leave here this body full of glory, the glory of God. In this book, where he reveals to us about this glory, and that we're being builded a special body for his habitation. I think we'll get to that tomorrow. But it says in the third chapter, verse 21, it gives our future, not just for the rapture, but for all eternity future. God can see way past the rapture. It's best not to get mad at folks over rapture doctrine, because God can see so far past it. And he can see so far past the millennium, and he sees on and on and on and on and on and on and on through the ages, where you'll be busy. And your job through the ages will be whatever it takes to bring him glory. Ephesians 3:21, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." But did you know we're not going to get through this age without giving him glory? So far, the church in this age has not really given God glory. But this says throughout all ages we will, including this one. It's not possible that some doctrines we've heard up until this point could be true. We can't leave this age without giving God glory. Without going into it, let's just turn to Romans chapter 9. I didn't even intend to read this today, but I just thought of it. It's a wonderful verse. Romans chapter 9, verse 23. Here's some of God's purpose for the future. Romans 9:23. He's a God of plan and purpose. Romans 9:33, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy," that's us, "which he had afore prepared unto glory." That's why he prepared us, for his glory. "Even us whom he hath called to glory, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles." Now back to Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, in this book where he talks about the church becoming glorious and all that's entailed in that, he starts off with some prayer for that church to have some revelation knowledge. In fact, the Spirit of God to come on them and give them wisdom and revelation concerning three things. Paul prayed the prayer for the church at Ephesus. It's also prayed for the church everywhere. Three things we must have some enlightenment on before we're going to be the glorious church. I'd like to preach on all three, but I seldom get too far past the first one. But I trust God's going to bring me on over into resurrection power. Touched on it a little bit, because we're going to have some knowledge on it, some enlightenment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And here in this chapter, we see God called the Father of glory. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul prayed, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that, Paul's praying that this spirit of revelation wisdom will come on them so that they can know three things. Number one, what is the hope of His calling? Do you know what is the hope of His calling? Number two, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? That's the second thing we need to know. One reason why the church is going to be glorious, if this was not enough, and it is the ultimate purpose of it all, is because we're God's inheritance and we're going to be valuable. We are valuable. God must inherit something of great value and glory, a rich, rich treasure. It's us. And number three, He wants us to have some understanding of the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. And He goes on to define it as the resurrection power. It might be interesting to note here what the Bible calls that. Turn to Romans chapter 4. No, chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This scripture tells us that it was the glory of the Father that raised Christ from the dead. So the exceeding greatness of the power He wants us to understand about, that's really glory too. But the thing we're going to talk about right now today is number one, what is the hope of His calling? And before you leave here today, you'll all be able to raise your hands and say, I know number one. I'm one third the way. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation this afternoon. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened that we may know what is the hope of His calling. All right, I will. Bless the Lord. Now we're going to review just a little bit from Psalm 8. The creation of man. Remember that Ephesians called God the Father of glory. Yesterday we went through the pre-Adamic civilization, the fall of earth into a cataclysmic state, when Satan rebelled against God, Lucifer rebelled against God, and earth fell into that state of darkness when it became dark and void, and all light was gone from it. For God, who is light, removed His presence. Then we watched the Holy Ghost move and hover over it, and Brother Wayne talked to us about that. And God then called the seed out of the earth, and on the fourth day, the first thing God said was, let there be light. For light had removed Himself. God was gone from the scene. On the fourth day, the sun came and the moon came. But on the first day, God said, light be. He was not talking about natural light. He was talking about God. God is light, 1 John tells us. He was saying, God be on the scene. He called forth the seeds. He created the new animal life. And then on day six, God showed me this in those 8 years I was teaching at a local church. And there's a lady here who went to that local church. She said, I remember that day you came and God had spoken to you about such and such, this and that. We all had fun learning together. I had more time than the preacher. I had the Sunday school hour of the auditorium class. And we had a whole hour. By the time he got to the church part, the singing and everything else, he only had about 20 minutes. But we had a fun time in that whole hour as God was just revealing this to all of us. And we would rejoice over it. And I can remember when he said to me one day during these 8 years he was teaching this to me, I didn't create man in a corner. He said it just like that. And suddenly I knew that all of heaven was watching him and all of the region of the damned was watching him. And I knew that God Himself, and this is what he said to me, he said, I stepped to center stage. And I made an announcement that shook both those worlds. Let us make man in our image. And we went over that, and Brother Wayne's covered it well. But we'll pick it up here with an angel watching. Oh, heaven was shocked. They didn't know there was going to be someone in the exact likeness of God. They didn't know there was going to be a creature there between angels and God. And so an angel was watching, and we have recorded here what he said in his shocked state. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Oh, Lord, our Lord. I'm going to go to verse 3, but I just want to say one line from verse 1. When I consider thy heavens, I've just watched you create all this, the heavens here. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is Adam? What is this Adam? What is this creature? That thou, God, art mindful of him. You, the Most High, the one we worship through these millions of eons already. What is this creature that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you actually visit him. I don't know that God visited angels. This one seems to have been shocked that he visits men. Verse 5. Thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim. We'll read it the way it's really written. And hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. God himself, this angel says, as recorded for us in the psalm, verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim, and O God, wonder of wonders, you have crowned him. God himself walked over to this creature that the angel didn't even know what it was, and God set a crown on his head. Not a crown of rubies, not a crown of gold, not a crown of diamonds, but a crown made with the most wondrous substance in all of creation. The crown was made of what? Glory and honor. And one day God said to me, I want you to know what I mean when I say glory and honor here. He told me to look it up in the Word, and I found it in 1 Chronicles 16:27. Let's save time. You don't need to turn there. But 1 Chronicles 16:27 is the Psalm of David when they were bringing back the Ark of the Presence of God. And one of the lines is this, glory and honor are in his presence. Glory and honor are in his presence. This creature was crowned with glory and honor, the very presence of the Most High God.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim again, and you've been hearing a classic message that came many years ago of a revelation of the glory of God. We do have this series from those days on a CD in a 5-CD package that we will be glad to send you for $20. Just call us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 and request the classic A Glorious Church.